Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Jumpin' James Herbert, you are not an all-NBA teamer.
I was really disappointed when I found out.
I gotta be honest, I don't think you had any qualifications to make it.
What are you talking about?
I didn't see how you were... I definitely didn't think you were a first or second teamer, and then the idea of you making the third team was mostly laughable.
I think just because I'm not in the NBA doesn't mean I can't be all NBA. This is discrimination, and I won't stand for it.
That's a good point. There is a certain level of discrimination there in that, like, J.J. Watt isn't getting all NBA consideration.
And he's mad about it.
Yeah. Oh, he's furious. Oh, my God. He definitely didn't like that.
Maybe we'd all be on the... If there was a fourth team... Maybe we'd all be on that. John Wall too.
Yeah. Do you think John Wall makes the fourth team if they go to four teams?
I mean, like, I'm gonna make it before him, but I don't mind sharing the backcourt with him.
He didn't get very many votes at all.
No, it was weird. I thought it would at least be closer. I'm not like that shocked that he didn't make it because I think. This has sort of become a storyline, and I think that's more so because of how great he was in the playoffs and how surprising the Wizards were in the playoffs. But at the end of the season, I think it was kind of a tough call as to what to do with that third team. I think the first and second team are pretty obvious in the backcourt, but then there's just a lot of good guards in the league, and maybe he deserved it over Irving and Thompson. If you feel strongly about that, cool. Like, I'm not going to argue about it, but I don't think... It was as much of a like snub as it sort of seems right now, just because we remember how good he was in the playoffs because that's what we've just watched.
Right.
I think a lot of like Damian Lillard had an amazing season too.
I was just thinking. I just went to our award picks.
I left him off.
I left him off too. I thought I had him on there, but I had I had Damian Lillard over him, which now
looks
seems like a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, if I could go back, I guess maybe I would change it, but I don't feel that bad about it. Like, Lillard had a wonderful season. That team, I think, overall disappointed in the playoffs, and he had a few bad games there himself individually.
Right.
The difference, you'd rather have John Wall on your team, I guess, because of defense, but Lillard is an awesome player, and I don't think, had he made it, that there should have been outrage either, but I mean, it wasn't that close. Like, the amount of votes that Wall got. Do you have the numbers in front of you?
I do.
I put it in the post that I wrote, but I don't have them in front of me.
He got 50 points off of votes.
Mm-hmm. You get five for first, three for second, and one for third.
Yeah. Zero first team votes.
Yeah.
Which is fine. He shouldn't have been first team. Al Horford got a first team vote, though, which was interesting.
That's interesting.
But yeah, 50 points off the votes. Klay Thompson... made the third team with 122 points. Kyrie Irving with 112 points. So they more than doubled John Wall's consideration for this, which is interesting. Also interesting, Kawhi Leonard had 155 points from his voting, but did not end up on the third team, despite getting more points than Klay and Kyrie. The tables have been flipped.
Tables are flipped.
The script has been flipped.
There's the script has been turned.
There's a lot of Flip Murray going on right now.
What's he up to? What's old Ronald doing?
Yeah, I don't know what Ron Murray's doing, but maybe he's flipping things in disgust because of Kawhi Leonard not making it.
Because he's a huge Kawhi fan. That makes sense.
And Kawhi, you know, didn't have the most first place votes for Defensive Player of the Year, but he won it.
Yeah.
Now karma's... Nah, it doesn't feel like karma. That has nothing to do with him. Yeah, that's bad. The first team, do we have any problems with the first team? No, right?
No.
Curry, Harden, LeBron, Davis, and Marc Gasol. I had Tim Duncan over Marc Gasol, but I have no problem with Marc Gasol getting it.
Yeah.
Seemed fine.
Yeah.
Second team, LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMarcus Cousins, Pau Gasol, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul.
All excellent players. Yeah. I think there's an argument that Gasol, because he wasn't good defensively this year, maybe shouldn't have been on the second team, but I don't think it's... I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah. And then third team, like we said, Thompson, Kyrie, Tim Duncan, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. I didn't think DeAndre should... Well, did I have DeAndre? Now I got to see if I had DeAndre. No, I didn't have DeAndre.
I don't think you did.
I had Al Horford instead.
Yeah. I think there were more than two better centers than DeAndre in the league this season, but again, like, I think really the story here, and we've talked about DeAndre and all of this award stuff already, but I think Doc Rivers did an awesome job. He kept pumping him up to the media all year, and I think it worked.
It worked, for sure. Also, Jimmy Butler, only 32 points from the voting.
Yeah, I had him, man.
Yeah, I had him as well. I feel like he had a better year than Klay Thompson.
Me too. I think he didn't have... I mean, Klay Thompson had that 37-point quarter. And
yeah.
Jimmy Butler didn't. And I think that kind of sticks in your mind. Butler, I think, just... I mean, he wasn't 100% as good defensively as he was the previous year, but let's say he was like 80%.
Still a really good defender.
But still one of the top wing defenders in the league. And now suddenly this go-to guy. I just thought he was amazing. Thompson's a very good two-way player too, so it's not like I'm upset about it, but I had Butler in there. I'm surprised that he got so few votes. Same with Wall. But, you know, I understand Thompson and Curry. Like, these are, I guess, voters usually like to award-winning teams, and those teams are still alive, and sure.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
A note before we get into the playoffs. I went karaokeing last night.
Ooh.
And the last time I was in Atlanta, it ruined my mood. We went karaoke a couple of times, and it ruined my experience because they didn't have Alone by Heart, which is like my go-to song. They had it this time in the same place. They got it, I guess.
They've upgraded it.
They upgraded, yeah. To the point where as we were like looking through the songbook, the bartender comes over and says, like, this is almost completely out of date, and it's just really a spirit guide for picking your songs, because I don't know if any of these are in there. But yeah, they had Alone by Heart.
It's an incredible establishment.
And I hit the falsetto, and I felt pretty good about myself, yeah.
I'm glad. That sounds like a magical evening.
My voice feels a little raspy, though, today.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, it could also be...
podcast ready.
Yeah, it could also be from screaming in the final moments of Warriors-Rockets.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say you like did like a Metallica song or something.
No, I don't. I don't think I know any Metallica songs.
Really?
Yeah, that's not really in my genre.
Okay.
Not in my wheelhouse there, but I don't know.
I mean, that's not really so much screaming anyway. But anyway, let's yeah, the Warriors Rockets game that happened.
I was at a restaurant place watching the game last night, and the place went nuts. When James Harden turned the ball over. I guess we should start there with the play. What did you think of the final play? So there's a lot of criticism that, one, Kevin McHale doesn't call timeout. And then, two, James Harden picks up his dribble. And then, three, Dwight Howard doesn't really do anything with the ball other than just quickly pass back to James Harden instead of maybe like a handoff play or whatever. And then we had James Harden not able to get off a shot at all. Got picked by Clay or Curry or whoever. You know, both those guys were swarming, and you lose the game that way without getting a shot off. What did you think? Like, what was your take on what happened?
I thought the Warriors made a great defensive play. And
right?
They also got lucky because Harden didn't make the pass to, I think it was Josh Smith who was streaking down the middle. So they got a little lucky, and then they made a really good play at the biggest moment of the game. I don't have a problem with the not calling timeout. I thought they had an advantage and they pushed it, and that's exactly what you should do. Now, maybe you'd rather call a timeout and set up like a simple isolation or pick and roll with Harden and let him take his time, because he generally likes to be patient and likes to pick apart defenses. But I think if you asked him, Harden would say he was totally comfortable with pushing it, and it's not like he hasn't gotten quick baskets in those sort of situations before. I had no problem with what McHale did, and I thought it was just kind of a freak thing that happened. And I think Howard was frankly shocked to get the ball, and I think he just tried to get it back to the man who was supposed to make the play as soon as possible.
And what's he gonna, I mean, he gets the ball 22 feet from the basket. Not exactly his Metallica wheelhouse.
No, not at all.
To bring the Sandman into the arena?
Sandman did not enter.
Yeah, the Sandman did not enter.
But yeah, what did you think? Were you Were you all riled up about it, or?
No, I just saw a lot of criticism today. I don't think I think Harden kind of had tunnel vision there.
Yeah.
And it happens. Like, and he's also the guy like that's supposed to take the final shot, right? And the Warriors did make a great play. And maybe that's what gets lost in all this is that the Warriors cut that off perfectly and then just pounded him. And
yeah.
And you know, as soon as he got the ball with the seconds ticking down, before he picks up his dribble, I was like, he's gonna win this game.
Me too.
I mean, I really thought like,
because that's what the whole fourth quarter was.
Right. Exactly.
Curry, yeah.
I really thought he was going to end it, and he did end it, just not in the way I think he intended.
No, definitely not.
And apparently Kevin McHale tried to call a timeout after Harden picked up his dribble, but he couldn't get one.
Yeah.
That actually makes me wonder, like, how do we handle, like, is there a better way to handle something like that? Like, should they have a
timeout call?
Should they have a buzzer that they can buzz and, like, then the refs feel it or something like that?
I
don't know if like a shot caller. Like I wouldn't give him a shot caller because that's.
I don't think a shock, shot caller would work at all.
Yeah, that's probably
it would work, but it would.
Somebody would abuse that. Yeah, I feel like Pop would have some fun with that. But you know, like I wonder.
I think we have the technology to have a button that they can press.
Yeah, right. Like that seems. I don't know. To me, it made me start wondering. Like, is there a better? Like, should we have a better timeout system, or is it just?
David Blatt is very thankful that they don't have a system.
And is it something where like a coach could accidentally hit it if we had that? And then you would have a whole other issue of, oh, I didn't really want
to
time out.
We try to get the worms back in the can.
Right, you try to get the worms back in the can.
But yeah, I don't mind. I think they could at least explore that. I think that makes sense. And I get why McHale would try to call a timeout there. But really, they had it. Like, they had... Up until the Warriors trapped him, like they had a good chance on that possession. I think if you gave Houston those like ball in Harden's hands in that situation with a chance to win the game, they would take it every time. Just it didn't work out that time, and I think we kind of tend to look at the offense in that situation and say, "Well, Harden screwed up," and like, yeah, he could have played it better, but I think you know the Warriors are the best defensive team in the league, and they made a really good defensive play, and I think they need to get credit for it if we're going to discuss that play.
Yeah, and it's something where I guess you have to assign blame of some sort because somebody screwed up, and Harden does screw up in the situation. But the way he was going last night, like it seems kind of nitpicky to be like, he did mess up the final play. It's like the only reason that was the situation is because of how well he played.
They shouldn't even been in that game. It's really hard to come back against the Warriors, and they did it.
Yeah.
And they did it once with the first quarter deficit, and then they were down by 8 with, like, a couple of minutes left. And it should have been over, and it wasn't, because Harden just kept making plays. I thought that alley-oop pass to Howard, where Draymond's arms were up and in his face, that was just incredible.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
I don't know how he pulled that off against that Warriors defense. It was amazing. The shots that he was making, it was peak Harden against peak Curry for a while too. So it was awesome to watch. And it just feels like, yeah, like sure, we can blame him for the end, but we can't blame him for them losing the game because they wouldn't have been anywhere near that position without him.
Well, here's a stat for you. In the 41 minutes James Harden played, the Rockets were plus 12.
Yeah.
So in 7 minutes of no James Harden, they got outscored by 13 points. Like, that's not really his fault. I guess it's his fault that he couldn't play the whole game.
His fault. Why isn't he better conditioned?
Yeah.
Why can't he play all 48?
They were abysmal with Corey Brewer on the floor. 19 minutes for Corey Brewer, they were minus 23.
Yeah.
There's a lot of noise in those plus-minus stats, but that's incredible. And Curry was great. Like, we got a duel.
Yeah. We got exactly what we wanted, the two MVP candidates. Do we still call them candidates after the award?
No, because somebody definitely won.
Because one of them actually won MVP.
I guess you could.
I think when I wrote about it, I put the MVP in the runner-up because that's actually
what
happened.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Curry's just like still. I liked the Kobe tweet that blew up because it's accurate. It was like the Rockets. I think early in the game they made some mistakes and he got some open looks that they don't want to give up. But a lot of the time, he wasn't taking shots that you'd want most other players to take. And he's Steph Curry, so it's fine.
That was the thing. I think it was... When was it? It must have been the Denver series years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, you know, had proclaimed, like, Steph Curry's the best three-point shooter of all time. Yeah. And it's just because... And it is because of that shot-making ability. Like, it's... He is the outlier, right? Like,
yeah.
You want all these defensive strategies. You have all these defensive, like, staples to how you want to play the game and game plan and execute and all this stuff, and he just makes them all stupid.
Yeah, like when you're taking pull-up threes from 30 feet out and you're like, your feet aren't square and you're twisting and you swish them like that, like there's no way to plan for that.
Yeah, you just
there's
can't.
No, when they run that pick and roll like from way beyond the three-point line and he just takes a three off the dribble, like I don't know what you're supposed to do. Like they a lot of teams trap him and that's fine, but he's such a good passer that there's no real way to shut him down. That, I mean, I think the best teams try to give him different looks and try to be physical with him, but when he's going, he's going.
Really good game out of Dwight Howard.
Yeah, despite the injury, didn't look very limited at all.
No, didn't look limited. Andrew Bogut was phenomenal.
He was amazing.
He's ridiculous. How effective
he
is.
That he should.
No, he doesn't get the credit at all.
And, you know, I saw some... Did you see the comments that Jeff Van Gundy made about him? I think it was yesterday. He said he was comparing him and Howard and saying Bogut's in this sort of privileged position because they're both number one picks, but he can go and not score any points and no one will comment about it, whereas if Howard has a game where he only plays 23 minutes and doesn't score, people would be blaming him for everything. And I get where he's coming from, but I think at the same time, for a guy that was a number one pick and that was a number one option in Milwaukee earlier in his career, it says a lot about him that he was, you know, mature enough to, after a couple of career-threatening injuries, to accept this role and just say, okay, I'm going to be one of the very best, if not the best, defensive center in the league, and I'm going to make plays on offense when I'm given the chance to, but I realize that I have these talented players around me, and I'm fine if I don't get a single touch in the post for, like, a month. Like,
right.
It's not that he can't play in the post, it's that he doesn't need to.
Well, he also knows that he's better off as a screen setter and a distributor anyway, out of the high post, so...
Yeah, and he's amazing at that.
Yeah, he's so good at that. Do you think
Mark Jackson didn't use him as that ever, but that's fine.
Right. Well, that's Mark Jackson. I wonder, are we going to get a good game out of Clay in the sense that, like, I don't even know if it's physically possible to defend the way he does against Harden, because I still think he's playing excellent defense.
I thought he played a bit better defense in game one than game two.
Yeah, it was better in game one, but I still thought, like, for the most part, he was with Harden for a lot. And
yeah.
And the amount of possessions you have to stay with Harden in order to have a good game is a lot of possessions. And
this
This
is one thing that confuses me is I don't know why he's... I mean, I get that he's doing a pretty good job, but I don't think they need to use him on Harden for as much as they are.
I mean...
I thought Iguodala was going to play more minutes.
Clay was the best against him during the regular season. I mean, I know it's the regular season, but Clay did the best job against him.
Yeah, maybe I'm just too much of a Iguodala supporter, apologist, whatever, what have you. But I feel like he could play more minutes in this series, and I feel like he could relieve a lot of pressure off of Clay and allow Clay to be more of a offensive player, which I'm not going to say they absolutely need him to be because they're up 2-1 in the series, 2-0 in the series, and you know, but they did win only by 1 point last night. And I think maybe if they'd gotten a bit more out of Clay offensively, then it wouldn't have been an issue. It wouldn't have come down to that last possession. But we are nitpicking the Warriors here, and we're nitpicking
right.
An amazing coaching staff. But yeah, I would personally like to see a little bit more Iguodala, maybe a bit more Barnes on Harden as well, just because I think, yeah, like you said, it's asking an awful lot of Clay to stick him one-on-one, stick with him one-on-one all game, and guard him as tightly as he's guarding him, and also have the energy to run around screens and make shots and do what he usually does on offense.
Yeah, he was 6 of 15 from the field for 13 points. No free throw attempts. 1 of 7 from 3.
Yeah.
And the Rockets are doing a good job on him, too.
That's the thing. It doesn't guarantee that he's going to have a better offensive game if he doesn't guard Harden as much, because Houston should get credit for that, too.
Right. If you're Houston, you've been close in two games. What adjustments, what do you do to get a game back?
Is it about strategy? I don't know that it even is. Nothing really jumped out on me. I'd feel pretty good despite being down 0-2 just because they've been competitive in this series. They were really close last night. And going home, they absolutely need to win the third game. But they've responded to adversity before. I mean, they did it all season. They did it when nobody expected them to against the Clippers. Like, both of us definitely included, nobody thought they were going to come back for 3-1.
Right.
I don't know. Did you see anything on the floor that you would say they absolutely need to change this?
They took care of the ball. You can take better shots from three. Don't give Josh Smith 17 shots.
Yeah, that was weird. I'm not sure that was the game plan, though.
I'm sure that was the game plan for the Warriors, but I think you just have to, not that Josh Smith can't take shots, but there's no game in which he should have double the amount that Trevor Ariza does. You've got to find some way to distribute that better.
He was very, very confident to start the game.
Yeah. I mean, I was very confident to sing in karaoke last night. It doesn't mean it was a good idea.
What did you sing besides Heart?
Did No Diggity.
That was a classic.
Yeah, did... what else did I do?
I don't need a full list or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I did a bunch of songs. Bump and Grind... Yeah, I feel like there's another big one that I can't really remember that I did.
Okay. If it comes back to you, you can just interrupt while we're talking.
This was a, maybe I'm the Josh Smith of karaoke.
That's very possible.
It is very possible. Although I did have
the J.R. Smith of karaoke.
I did have a professional last night tell me that my singing is pretty good, technically.
What kind of professional?
A person that is a professional musician.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's impressive.
Right. It was a big... I mean, and at first I felt like he was making a joke.
was it Sir Foster?
It was. It was Sir Foster.
Really?
No.
Damn it.
So that was kind of like the encouragement of Daryl Morey to... Josh Smith saying, no, we want you to shoot.
Shoot threes.
Right.
Analytics.
Through two games, Steph Curry has 25 uncontested shots.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So we had 12 again yesterday.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like... It felt like a lot of those were not necessarily breakdowns, but I guess I'd have to watch the film again. I know in the first half he got open way more than he should have. But, I mean, these things happen, especially the team as good as this that likes to push the pace. And, the Rockets got open looks in transition, too. This is just kind of – we're having an offensive series, and it's kind of awesome.
It is awesome. So I guess we still feel very good about this Warriors team.
Yeah. I have no complaints about this team, really, aside from the Iguodala thing.
We feel good about the I think we feel good about the Rockets' feistiness.
Yeah.
And they've been right in. They really needed
that game.
Yeah. But,
I mean, all you can do if you're a Rockets fan is be like James Harden and just kick and hit the nearest thing to you as you walk dejectedly to your room.
Yeah. We don't need that tantrum, James. I think what's the scene? A series doesn't begin
until the home team loses,
right? Yeah, so I guess this one, we're still waiting for it to start.
Yeah, but then, game one is going to be awesome.
But then if it starts in game three, Or is it, if it starts after game three, then we really only have like one game left of a series.
Well, yeah, but it also, the series is over when the when one team is up 3-0, so it's going to start and end at the same time, which will mean it never really happens.
So this is like a neutral series. It's Switzerland.
Yeah. Yeah. Philosophically, this this series might never happen.
Still. Okay, well, that's exciting to know.
I know. It's really weird.
It's like it's like John Calipari, you know, built the program and coached it, and then did some...
Oh, wow.
No, he's had some wins vacated, right?
I think so.
Didn't the Memphis stuff...
At Memphis, probably.
Yeah, or maybe
this is not a college basketball
thing. A Jim Boeheim thing or a Jim Calhoun thing. I don't know.
Teams have had wins vacated before.
Yeah, teams have...
We're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go and start previewing the game tonight that I'll be at.
That series has started.
That series did start. Started in game one. The Atlanta Hawks, 2.5-point favorites over the Cleveland Cavaliers. At home, game two... Damari Carroll's a game-time decision?
I wish we knew more about that.
Yeah, fantastic news, by the way, on Damari Carroll's situation.
That such a relief.
Looks so bad.
Looked horrible.
Yeah. And I was... Like, I was... I'm sitting behind a basket, maybe 10 or 12 rows up. And I could hear him. I mean, the place was loud. And as soon as he hit the ground, like, I could hear him scream.
Ugh.
Which was not great. That is like a piercing sound when you hear a player scream like that. And then he was just writhing in pain, but it looks like he's going to be okay. Just a bone bruise and a left knee sprain.
Yeah, if he's okay enough to play tonight or play in game three, that is just... That's obviously amazing news for him, just on a personal level. Like, that would have sucked to go through a serious injury right now.
I can tell you this... From a personal experience, I hyperextended my knee in flag football in 8th grade, and I played the next week.
You were so tough.
Well, we know that... I think it's safe to say Damari Carroll is a tougher person than I am.
He has that nickname that he gave himself that other people have also had, the Junkyard Dog.
Junkyard Dog, yeah. So I expect him to... If he doesn't play tonight, I'm guessing he plays in Game 3.
Okay.
But
he'll at least play some flag football.
Right. At least he can play in the Hawks company flag football game, which that's really where the playoffs are decided.
Yeah, that's where Sir Foster really,
but
really shines.
The Cavs and Kyrie Irving not looking so hot in that respect.
No, the quotes from yesterday, I mean, everybody's saying like they hope he plays. I don't know. And he's saying he just doesn't have it right now. It's obviously a concern, especially given that J.R. Smith was the only guy who did anything off of the bench for them last game. He did a hell of a lot off the bench for them last game, but I'm not sure you can count on 8 threes from him every night. And yeah, they need him out there. They need him somewhat close to his normal form. I'm not sure if they'll get that. But we've seen him. I mean, that game 5 against Chicago... even though he was hobbled, he was making all the right decisions and he was finding a way to score and tough it out. And it's all really impressive. I wonder if he can get back to that or if it's just wear and tear and he really needs to seriously sit out for a while.
Yeah, I mean, listening to him, I was right there when he was talking after game one, and he just looks, I mean, he looked dejected.
Yeah.
And he talked about
how... He's so frustrated.
That's what he said. I mean, he talked about how frustrating it is because... He said it's frustrating when I can see the holes in the defense that I normally attack and I can't get there.
Yeah.
And that was evident. I mean, they were getting switches where Kyle Korver had to guard him, and Kyle Korver's a solid defender, but he can't guard Kyrie Irving. He can't guard a healthy Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie could turn the corner on him.
Can.
Right. Kyrie could turn the corner on him a little bit, but that was it. And even then, like, he wasn't getting to the basket. He was like pulling up from, 8 feet and shooting floaters that looked uncomfortable, and he just couldn't do much. And, if he can't play, I mean, I guess we see more point LeBron,
more Delavadova.
Yeah. More Deli. I don't think the Hawks are ready for this Deli.
They might be now.
Well, maybe they are now. Maybe they've game planned for it. But if, you know, that can you rely
if the
on
the Hawks aren't ready for this Deli? then what happened?
I mean, I guess it's the conversation we had in the Bulls series or after the Bulls series where, you know, LeBron wasn't that good up to his standards and the role players really stepped up around him. They're going to need to do that again. And Tristan Thompson was amazing in game one and Jarrett Smith was obviously incredible. And he wants to take contested shots because open shots are boring.
Of course.
One of my favorite things any human has ever said. but
did you hear him say that?
No, I wasn't at Cavs practice because it was in a different location.
Got it.
No, but that was but you know, is JR gonna hit 8 threes again tonight? Is he gonna double that? Here's the thing, like, even if he does, like, is he going to double the amount of threes the Hawks make?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that won't happen.
And then without, you know, if Kyrie...
Anything is possible, though.
If Kyrie Irving can't go, or if he can and he's just not Kyrie Irving, you know, that's... I think the Hawks can feel good about getting back into the series and evening it up and trying to steal one in Cleveland to regain home court advantage.
Yeah. I think they need this one. Going to Cleveland down 0-2 would be a disaster. It's tough because... We don't know if Carroll's going to play, and he's so important to that team, especially without Tabo. If we're picking this, I would still pick the Hawks, but I'm just so nervous about it because I think until we know the status of Irving and Carroll, who knows?
Yeah, well, we do have the news that Lil B, the base god, has blessed the Hawks.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, they went...
Okay, now I feel wonderful about my Hawks pick. They did.
Yeah, if I had known going into the series that he was going to bless them,
I
probably...
When did he bless them?
It was, like, not that long ago.
Okay.
Here, I got it right here. So they tweeted out... God, this is just some journalism right here.
Some mid-podcast journalism.
Some mid-podcast... They tweeted out, Dear Little B, Dear at Little B, the base god. We're not like the others. Please show us mercy and spare us. Hashtag the base god curse. Prayer hands emoji. Sincerely, the Hawks. this is just a high point in my career. And he said... he responded with something. Oh, man. Where did it go? Well, he blessed them. That's what I know.
He blessed them.
Okay. Yeah. He said, something, oh man, I wish I had this. His Twitter feed is a mess.
he follows, like, more than a million people.
Right.
He follows me. He probably follows you,
He
too.
Follows me, yeah. Oh, here we go. I got love for the Hawks, and Jeff Teague is a beast, !! Hawks deserve great things, and the city of Atlanta, signed Little B. And then also said, and I would love to come see the Hawks play in Atlanta if I have to buy tickets or not. And then there was some kind of a smiley face with a plus sign for a nose, and he signed it Little B. And then he told ESPN, Atlanta Hawks are all good. Shouts to Paul Millsap. They're going to win by 40 tonight.
They are. He also said that Little B is here to keep honesty and integrity in the NBA and other sports and protect people who care. Which is good to know because somebody needs to do that.
That is good to know.
He also said that Harden has not actually been cursed like KD. He was warned. He's waiting for Harden to speak on the dance because he thinks that Harden has copied his dance. Now, I think because he was warned and not cursed, that's why he had an incredible game but still lost at the end.
Yeah.
If he was cursed, he wouldn't have been able to make a shot.
Right. That's definitely true. Here's something that's swaying my opinion on who might win this game to the Cavs.
Okay.
Is because after the game one, while we were waiting for Iman Shumpert to, you know, get dressed and be able to talk, he was doing the LeBron James Vine Kid impression.
Like LeBron James.
Yeah, the LeBron James. Like, he was doing that, and...
I was doing that, like, all night while I was watching that game.
Yeah, he was doing that to LeBron. Like, he was shouting it at LeBron, which was pretty
great.
That's
incredible.
Yeah.
What was LeBron's reaction?
LeBron was, I don't know what he was talking about. He was blabbering about something, but no one.
Yelling.
Yeah. He was doing a lot of yelling, and Kendrick Perkins was doing a lot of yelling.
That sounds right.
Yeah. And Tristan Thompson did some yelling.
I enjoy that the Cavs have seen the LeBron James kid, and that LeBron, of course, has seen the LeBron James.
They got to get this kid to a game.
Yeah. They should have him sing the anthem.
I don't know if that's the answer.
He has a beautiful voice. We already know that part.
Yeah. So you got the Hawks tonight.
I got the Hawks tonight.
I got the Hawks as well.
You gotta root for the Hawks. When you got to root for a long series, you want to cover them in Atlanta again for Game 5 and 7.
I do. I actually do. I would love for this series to go 7. I also think it's going to be a good series. I really enjoyed Game 1. Fun atmosphere. And I think it's going to... I think we're in for a good one here.
I'm digging both conference final series right now.
Yeah. Before we part... should we comment? Did you see the Draymond Green commercial, Beats by Dre?
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
It's him. Well, first he reads like a Bleacher Report thing that says something like, is Draymond Green a villain? He reads that in the hallway, and then he goes in and he's like getting dressed at his locker, and reporters are just screaming at him. Like, in a scrum, like, just screaming at him, asking if he's arrogant and saying all kinds
that's,
of stuff.
That's how scrums work. We just yell, are you a bad person?
Yeah.
Players. This is what we do.
And then he puts on his wireless Beats by Dre, different Dre. And
you should market this as Beats by Dre, like Dray. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. No, he really should. And then an Eminem song plays. And then he walks away smiling. Mid scrum.
The Eminem song should play. Do you know there's the Michigan connection?
Like Matt was joking about it, but other people were like, this is a dumb commercial. But it's like, it's a commercial. Like, I don't know that we were going to get an accurate
representation. Draymond Green has a commercial. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know that we were going to get some accurate representation of like media scrums and stuff. Like maybe that's how he views
them. Zach, like you don't yell are you arrogant at every player.
I yell that at everyone in a basketball arena whether they're playing or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the ushers.
Right.
The concession stand people.
Yeah.
Like small children who are just at the game to have fun.
Right. Everybody.
That is what you do.
The Hawk, I saw two fans wearing Angry Birds heads, which was terrifying.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that again tonight.
I hope the Angry Birds are just as angry, or angrier.
Or the angriest that they
can
be.
Yeah, they need vengeance.
Yeah, they definitely do. Well, James, we're going to cut this podcast short because I've got to go do something. You've got to go talk to someone.
Yes.
And I think we'll pick it up again on Monday or Tuesday.
We'll do it.
Thanks, James.
Consider us both blessed by Lil B.
Yeah, we are blessed. Thanks, Lil B.
Always appreciate you, Lil B.